conversations from the front lines of marketing. This is B2B Growth.
Well, today I am excited to have Greg Batchelor with me. He's the VP of Growth Marketing over at platform.sh. Greg, welcome into B2B Growth.
Thanks, Benji. Very happy to be here.
Yes. So, Greg, I'll just tell you, for our team, as we look at 2023 and we're staring into our crystal ball of sorts, we're seeing and imagining a resurgence and a concentration on account-based marketing. And there's a few reasons why. Clearly, we're moving into a market situation where there's going to be a necessity for that hyper-focus, and account-based marketing can do that. I think we can get into some of the misconceptions, but account-based marketing became this like kind of cringe word over the last few years, but now it's like, we need it. We got to bring it back and like really get focused on what it is. So we're going to talk about that over the next few minutes with you. Let me start here. What's your background running ABM campaigns? Give us sort of a snapshot of the work you've done with account-based marketing.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, I started in sales like in 2000. My first job was at Oracle. So I was a sales for a few years and then worked for another company that now is owned by Cisco called WebEx. And so I did 3 to 4 years of sales. And then, you know, I switched to marketing at that time in 2004. And I think we've always been doing ABM. You know, it's like something that's pretty standard. You know, you want a list of target accounts, your reps are focusing on them, you're advertising to them. But basically, I would say that I've been doing ABM for a long time. And I think, you know, if it's well done, it can be really impactful for businesses. But it, as you said, it requires a lot of precision. You got to be hyper-focused, especially in this economy. CFOs are not going to sign a 40 or 50K ARR deal very easily versus when maybe they would do it in 2019 before COVID. So It's very important that you have laser focused messaging for the right buyers and the right companies you want to go after.
What do you think some of those mistakes or the common misconceptions are that marketing teams need to watch out for when it comes to ABM in 2023?
Yeah, I think there are a few. I can give you a few for sure. I would say one, you know, like buying a technology is going to solve everything. You know, there's a lot of ABM players out there. We all know them. The Terminuses, the Sixth Senses, whatever it is. Hey, we're going to buy this. It's going to work. No. The answer is clearly no. The second thing I think is, and it's a word that I think we'll use a lot during this podcast, but it's focus and hyper-focus. I think you need to figure out, you know, where you've been successful as a company, what type of deals you've been closing, who are the buyers that made the decisions, who are the influencers. And I think, yeah, you really need to be focused on everything you do. You have your ICP, which is great, and it's very important that you're aligned with your sales leaders on that front. But then there's, you know, firmographic, technographics. You really need to peel the onion to really know and repeat where you've been successful. And that's, for me, that's the art of ABM. It's really being in the details and, you know, at 5,000 feet, not at 30,000 feet.
Yeah. So it's almost like, obviously, if you had the right focus first and then you add the tech on top, that can be the lighter fluid in a sense. It could help you, right? The tech can always be an aid of sorts, but sometimes people, I think, get that out of context or they'll get that out of order. So it's like, well, if we just have this as our stopgap, we just get this solution in here, this technology in here, then we'll be able to run successful ABM, when in reality, it's always going to be about focus first.
Exactly. But I'll give you an example at platform.sh. You know, Perfect. We're a platform as a service, and we host some of the largest websites in the world at scale. So We help companies, large enterprises, manage their websites in a very efficient way and help them scale them. We look at our ICP, of course, verticals, buyers, size of companies. So that's one. Then two, we have these companies that have, you know, certain type of CMSs. So we want to go after companies that have WordPress and other types of CMSs where we're really good and we're good at hosting these. What type of technology they're using to develop? Are they developing in React, in Node.js, et cetera, et cetera? And the last thing is, how many brands do they have? Because we're really good at managing multiple websites for large organizations. We'll take one website, no problem. Don't get me wrong. In this economy, I'll take some any customer.
Sure.
But if they have 10, 15, or 20 websites, and they have these sort of enterprise needs in terms of support, SLAs, customer service, that's where we come in. And that's how we put all together that ABM strategy with the ICP, the technologies, the number of brands, the number of websites that they have. And then that's our secret sauce. And then we can take this and then go and execute and deliver the campaigns against these accounts.
I like the real world example there. I want to just kind of even zoom out from just what you guys are doing and just think through a well done ABM campaign over the next few minutes. And so if we were to go to crafting that campaign from scratch, you're going to begin by just getting that plan locked in, having some sort of end in mind that you're working towards, right? So you know business objectives, you know how marketing is going to serve and aid in the campaign. What's crucial as far as conversations on the front end of ABM to make it work effectively for the business? Like, what are you thinking through? Who are the stakeholders you've got to talk to and be aligned with?
I would say it doesn't work if you're not aligned with a large portion of your go-to-market team. So I think the first thing that you do, and I talked about that a second ago, is like review where have you been successful in the past year, 2 year. That's, you know, you have the data in Salesforce, first thing. I think clear alignment with, you know, your sales leader in terms of the go-to-market. You know, do we want to go after enterprise, mid-market? Where are we successful? Is it a sales-led motion? Is it a sales-led and PLG motion? We do both at platform.sh, but you got to be crystal clear there. The first thing I would say is you have to have an extreme tightness and alignment with your VP of sales and your head of sales. I've, you know, when I interview for companies or come to new companies, if I don't have a good fit with the VP of sales, because it's a team thing, it's not them versus us. And by the way, I think it's critical to have a good alignment with your VP of sales, that they agree on the plan. And then, you know, obviously, you know, when you do planning for 2023 or any year where you're planning, you're going to present this to the, you know, to the CEO, and he's going to sign off of it on it. So the tightness and the alignment of sales and marketing, I think, really helps companies to be successful in executing their go-to-market and ABM strategies.
Yeah, that's good. I liked that you outlined before some of the secret sauce of what you guys are looking for in your ICP, and that helps you identify accounts. There's always a one or two things that specific company to company you should probably be looking at, and not just keeping your ICP broad, like we want this type of business size, right? There's some ways to really drill down and think about your ICP and some of the key things that they may or may not have in place that would make you a good fit. So are there any specific pieces of honing in on your ICP that you would highlight that would say, this goes beyond just company size, the job title that we need to talk to? Like, I would love to get into some of that and maybe some more specifics so that we can actually have a clear picture of our ICP.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I talked about that a little bit earlier. I think it's about, for us as an example, it's like, how many websites does a retail brand have? You know, Nestle is one of our largest customers. They have, I don't know, 1,000 websites. That's maybe on the extreme side.
Yeah.
But we've been looking at where we've been successful in the past few months. It's more in the mid-market, in companies that have 10 to 20 websites between 500 and, you know, 5,000 employees. And that's where you, when you look at the data of the companies that you closed in the past 24 months or 12 months, you need to extract these details.
Right.
Who was the buyer? Who was the influencer? And, you know, you got to pull that data and really review it with your sales leaders and, you know, find patterns. And that's hyper important. And then once you know who the two or three buyers that you really want to go after, you need to have really laser focused messaging. Mm-hmm. What are their top three pain points? How do we answer them? And then, you know, use that in obviously all your digital advertising, as well as all the SDR cadences, for example. And you really need to, I'm a simple guy, Benji. I'm a 1-2-3 guy.
Me too. Me too. Look,
less is more. Do 3 things well, 2 things well, and focus on them. I think that's how it works. And it helps the sales and enablement teams to train the SDRs, the sales reps. And we do 3 things well, 3 buyers, 3 verticals, and we nail that. And that's how you do it. Because if you do too much, you're going to spread yourself too thin and it's not going to deliver. And you're not going to have a successful ABM campaign.
So a follow-up question here would be, there's probably some people in the situation where they're looking, because of the economic situation, to go into verticals where there is more financial security, stability over the next 12 months, even if when they look at the past 24 months, they haven't necessarily sold into those verticals. So if you were to say, clearly we're all going to go after some of where we've been successful in the past. No one's going to just like dismiss that. But we're also trying many times to get into somewhere new that we may not have the proven track record yet. How do you balance that when you're thinking of your ICP and maybe going into a place where you're not sure that the messaging is going to resonate quite yet, right? You don't have the proven track record.
I think it's easier to go where you were winning before. That's
right.
For one. So honing on that. But I think, yeah, I'll give you another example is, you know, higher education. You know, we've got a lot of universities, you know, as customers. You know, that's not maybe an area where you want to go necessarily in this economy. Especially, you know, in the US, you know, universities have a little bit more money, in Europe, less. So I think, you know, I would, coming back to my point of being extremely focused, I would try and, you know, do more with the verticals where, you know, you've had some success and maybe cut a little bit. Usually when you're a, like us 400 people organization, you've touched all the verticals out there, like quite a bit of verticals out there. So I would say, again, it's the less is more for me. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time with our sales ops, revenue ops, and sales leadership teams looking at where we cut 1 or 2 verticals that, you know, we know we can win, but it's not, our win rates are not the highest. So we decided to go all in on the more the verticals that have more, where we have a higher success rate. But higher ed, for example, is one where, you know, maybe we would spend a little bit less time because it's a little bit tougher out there.
Totally. Let's talk about handoffs. I think the marketing to sales handoff in an ABM campaign becomes one of like the key hinge points where if you don't do it well, even if the messaging resonated, there's this fall off potential. So anything that you'd want to speak to specifically about making, ensuring that moving through the entire process, marketing has done their job correctly. How do you guys think of that and the potential handoff that needs to happen to sales at some point?
That's one of my pet peeves.
Okay.
I cannot conceive that we're dropping anything along the funnel. And I think, by the way, marketing, obviously, anything that's generated by marketing, social, whatever, is, let's say, attributed to marketing. But it's also our job to continue and follow these, you know, MQLs, these SQLs, ops deals. And that's our job to ensure, working with sales, that they're handed off properly. A lead should, for me, should be called in 2 minutes. That's mm-hmm. my philosophy. Some people may disagree. But, you know, the conversion rate of having a meeting, if you call somebody that came on your website, filled out a form, versus waiting for an hour or a day, you know, your conversion rates are going to be way lower. So I think I'm a pretty good fan of having SDRs under the sales channel, because they're on the phone, they're more on the sales side, if you will. But we have very tight processes in terms of passing leads that are coming from ABM or other campaigns to our BDRs and then following up on these. So we have a new BDR manager at Platform. We refined all our processes. And I can tell you that I hate leakage. Like leakage is, you know, the enemy of marketing, and we need to ensure that we're following up on everything in a very, very, very timely manner.
So campaigns up and running, as a leader, you're trying to keep attention on things, metrics, just making sure people remember the mission of the ABM campaign that you're doing and you're running. So what are some of those touch points for you that become critical, numbers that you're calling people back to? Want to dig in there as well.
Sure. You know, I think if you have an ABM program or campaign, you have, you know, a certain set of accounts that you're going after. Okay. So usually you have, as a marketing leader, you have your entire, you know, top of the funnel, middle of the funnel, you know, funnel, and, you know, whatever your is attributed to marketing under you. You need to have exactly the same thing for your ABM. Okay. On my 250 accounts in the US, for example, you know, how many emails did we send to these people? How many these companies came on our website? How many conversations did we have? And then you create your baseline and you put targets against these. But it's exactly the same thing. You need your ABM funnel based on, you know, some companies will have 30 accounts because they sell seven-figure deals. A company like us, we're more in the mid-market, I would say maybe it's about 200 accounts per country. But you would have exactly the same funnel than for your traditional marketing funnel. And you would look at, you know, any interaction with or any conversations with these accounts. One of the good metrics is, you know, demos and conversations with these ABM accounts. And I have a dedicated ABM dashboard that we look at on a daily and a weekly basis with sales leadership. We also assign some of these ABM accounts to some of the reps and the SDRs, so we know exactly what they're doing from an outreach standpoint. So that's hyper important to keep. We have a dedicated, you know, ABM touch base every week to ensure that we're, you know, meeting our metrics from the conversations and opening doors in these accounts.
What would it be a reason that you might tweak that? Because we were talking about hyper-focus. You got, let's say in your example, the 200 accounts. Is it, okay, SDR, BDR has reached out X number of times and like clearly we're not making progress in this account, so now we're going to take this one out? Or what are ways that you're thinking about potentially tweaking the list?
Yeah, I think you got to have a certain, again, if it's a seven-figure deal, you know, maybe your rep has five. But if you're, again, in a more mid-market, like the majority of the MarTech, you know, tools going from 5,000 to 100K a year, a rep should have maybe between 50, around 50 to 75 accounts aligned with an SDR. And I would not change these for 6 months. Obviously, if we lost a deal and they went to a competitor, obviously we would remove it and replace it. But you got to stick to your lists, because otherwise you're, again, diluting your efforts and you can't measure on the, you know, let's say middle term. And I would say, you know, be very consistent with your lists. Even if you can do it for a year, I would do it for a year, because then you can see your progress and then you can see, okay, how many touch points we had, how many conversations we had, and then you can see the tracking of, you know, progress there. So I think doing ABM for a month on 50 accounts, that's never going to work. You got to stick to your guns. You know, the work that you did at the beginning with firmographics, size of companies, ICP, stick to it, work on it, create content, obviously, for these companies. And that would be the best way to do it.
Yeah. Okay. So a couple more questions here. I'm thinking of the results of an ABM campaign and just essentially one, how you celebrate those wins internally as a team, because then that's going to show that it's working, right? And it's going to recall like, okay, this is why we're doing it this way. But then also just if you have any specific sort of wins you can point to, I would love to hear some examples there.
Yeah, we created a program, so pretty detailed on, you know, we were going after customers in Asia, most of the European countries in the US.
Okay.
We had about 1,500 accounts that we, you know, targeted in retail, cosmetics, luxury. That was our core business, e-commerce websites. And we had about 250 accounts. And we knew that either they had a competitor or they had a, you know, a website that would fit in well from a, you know, traffic standpoint, if you will. Obviously, we created content that was very verticalized within these luxury industries. So, you know, it could be lipsticks, cosmetics. You know, we would create some dedicated content with case studies and all that stuff. And we would, you know, serve them on all our different channels. You know, LinkedIn is a big one, but also, you know, email, et cetera, et cetera. So we would verticalize it a lot. And at that time, our average deal size was maybe in the 20s, 25 grand. And by having an entire, let's say, sales force bought in, sales leaders bought in, SDRs bought in, everybody had their accounts assigned, we would hit them, hit them, hit them. And we were at open doors. And obviously, these were, we wanted to go up market. And these companies had websites that had bigger traffic than what we had previously, meaning that the deals would be bigger. By having that entire motion with content and everybody behind it, with your reviews on a weekly basis, who did we talk to? What do they need? We would talk, you know, about conversations with Gong, with reps that they had at these ABM companies, and we would listen, learn, oh, maybe we need to create some content around this. So it's like a granular iteration every time. We significantly increased our ACV from 25 to 50 plus. And then that ACV even went higher in the US to 75 grand. So it's, you know, it's, it helps you also improve the sizes of your deals. If you go to a larger company that has the attributes that you want, you that has more traffic, you can sell bigger deals. And that was, I think, very successful at that company, AB Tasty, a few years ago.
Okay. So last question here. And I say it this way intentionally because it's the language we use on B2B growth. But we want to give people an unfair advantage, essentially. They listen to this podcast and they walk away with a tip, a tool, maybe it's a mindset shift, something that's like, man, because I listened to this episode with Greg and Benji, I'm going to think about ABM now a little differently, or I'm going to try this thing. So give us something specifically when it comes to ABM that you would say, hey, this is what you should be thinking about leaving this episode.
I think we said it a few times, be hyper-focused. There's no question. By the way, in anything you do in marketing, you should be hyper-focused in data, whatever. But, you know, have a plan that's very detailed with, you know, don't just stay at 30,000 feet, drill down on, okay, it's maybe more, it's 2,000 to 3,500 employees instead of 1,000 to 5,000. It's not six buyers. It's two buyers that you're going to, you know, really hone in. What are the top three pain points? What are the two technologies we want? And put that together, build all the content that's needed around it, and align with your VP of sales, and then execute with your sales team. So starting at the top, being hyper-focused, helps you being successful at the end and have a very successful ABM program. If you do, you know, LinkedIn ads, hey, I'm going to hit these 10 buyers with a generic ad, it's throwing spaghettis at the wall and nothing sticks. That's how you create a full ABM motion and bring everybody with you. Communicate, engage, have these weekly meetings, have these dashboards. That's how you make it a success, I think, in this world.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I know there's going to be people that are listening to this episode that want to stay in touch with you, Greg, and they also might be curious. I know you've mentioned platform.sh a couple times here, but just as we're finishing up, what's the best way to connect with you and then tell us a little bit more about platform.sh?
Very simple, LinkedIn. I look at my message. I get a lot of sales messages, so I try. But I read these or gregory.batchelor@platform.sh. Pretty simple. And yeah, and, you know, platform.sh, we're really good position. You know, we're a Series D company. We just raised $140 million in June. So obviously we're, you know, growing pretty fast and hiring quite a lot of people. And, you know, as a company, we really want to continue and be the main platform as a service for, you know, large enterprises that want to simplify, rationalize, and reduce their, you know, reduce the costs of their digital properties hosting. So that's what we do.
Fantastic. Greg, thanks so much for being here.
Benji, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Want to also say real quick, thanks to our audience for being with us and for allowing B2B Growth to be a source of marketing advice and conversation for you and listening as you do, whether it's work or maybe you're out for a run right now or doing the dishes and listening to this podcast. We just appreciate your time and never hesitate to reach out to me as well. You can reach out on LinkedIn, just search Benji Block. And for all things B2B growth, you can visit b2bgrowthshow.com. Remember, commodity content is the enemy and affinity trumps awareness. We're out. B2B Growth is brought to you by the team at Sweetfish Media. Here at Sweetfish, we produce podcasts for some of the most innovative brands in the world. And we help them turn those podcasts into micro videos, LinkedIn content, blog posts, and more. We're on a mission to produce every leader's favorite show. Want more information? Visit sweetfishmedia.com.